John chapter 1, we'll continue our Christ Is series, and today we'll look at Christ Is the Truth. The Truth. Now, if you turn to John chapter 1, let's look at the very first verse. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." To preface this message, I'd like us to look at verse 14, and we're going to do a few comparisons here from verse 1 to verse 14, just to preface the message here. So verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then verse 14 it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Now put these two verses together. Look at verse 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word." So this verse proclaims right away the eternality of Jesus Christ. He's God. He's the second person of the Trinity. Jesus is eternal. He's eternal God. He's the Word, the second person. And then look at verse 14. "And the Word was made flesh." Right there it proclaims in the Scriptures that God Himself became a man. The second person of the Trinity, the Word, became a man. And then John 1:1 it says, "And the Word was with God." Now here we see the blessedness of the Trinity. The Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. He's the second person of the Trinity. And He was with God, always with God, in eternity. He is God. And then look at verse 14. "And He dwelt among us." God tabernacled among men. God tabernacled among men. Becoming, Christ was one of us. Bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. Yet, He is the God-man. He's perfect. He's sinless. He's spotless. See, these verses proclaim the absolute deity of Christ and the absolute humanity. He's human too. Christ is fully God and fully man. And the Word was God, verse 1. In every attribute, He's God. He's as much God as the Father, and He's as much God as the Spirit. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The three are one, and they're all God. They're all God. And then look at verse 14. "And we beheld His glory. He that has seen Christ has seen God." They beheld Him. They saw, like you and I see each other, they saw Him. They saw Him. God incarnate in the flesh. Now let's continue down to from verses 2 to verse 18. "The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." So the Word of God, the one who became flesh, made all things. All things. And there's nothing that we see that was not made by Him. "In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehend it not. No man," Romans says, "seeks God." No man understands God. Why? Because we're in darkness. We come into this world in darkness, dead in trespasses and sins. "There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." And this is speaking of Christ, of course, who is the true light. "He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not." You ever heard people make this silly statement? I remember in religion I heard this all the time. It's one of the silliest statements that you'd ever want to hear. They say, "Well, the only Jesus that the world's going to see is in you." The Scriptures have just declared that Christ was in the world and the world didn't know Him. They didn't know Him. They did not know Him. The world was made by Him and the world knew Him not. He must be revealed. He must be revealed. "He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received them," Him, look at this. And now people will take this verse in 12 and say, well, that's free willism because they received Him. But but they forget the rest of the verse. To him gave he power to become the sons of God. He gives us power. He makes us willing. He makes the unwilling willing. Even to them that believe on his name. And we know faith is a gift from God and repentance as well. Which were born not of blood. So it's not by your ancestry. Nor the will of the flesh. Nor the will of man. So it's not by your works. It's not by your supposed free will, which is actually bound to your nature. But of God. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me. John the Baptist here is referring to the eternal existence and glory and deity of Christ. And when he says, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. He's speaking of his eternality. That he's God. And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Now there's two Johns who speak in our text here, John the Baptist and John the Apostle. And these words were written by John the Apostle, being inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. Now the words spoken of in verse 15, John bare witness of him and cried, this was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Those are the words of John the Baptist. And we know from Scripture that John the Baptist is the forerunner of Christ. His messenger to tell the world that he's coming. That he's coming. Now the words recorded in verses 16 to 18 are that of John the Apostle. And he also bears witness that the Lord Jesus Christ is full of grace and truth. Look at verse 14. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He's bearing witness of who Christ is. Who Christ is. And we know that grace only comes to we who believe from God. It only comes from him. And it is only in and through the Lord Jesus Christ that it comes to us. God is the author of grace. And God is the giver of grace. He's the author and he's the giver. And we see that Christ himself is full of grace and truth. Verse 14. And then it even says in verse 17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Came by Jesus Christ. And we who are redeemed, we should give much thanks to God for the great grace which we have received in and through Christ and him alone. And we should take great comfort also in the free and sovereign grace of God in Christ. Great comfort can be drawn from this precious truth. Now look in verse 17 where our text is found. We're seeing our text that the law came by Moses. It was given to him by God and brought to the nation of Israel. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, John Gill brings out that in this verse, by grace and truth is meant the gospel, in opposition to the law. Because look at what the text says. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So the gospel is the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace. And it's a declaration of the love that God has for his people and the grace that he bestows upon his people in Christ. In Christ. The law, what does the law do? Well, the law comes and the law slays us, doesn't it? It absolutely destroys us. Because we know we have no hope. When the law is before us, we're like, oh my goodness, I have no hope. Because we've broken not just one of God's law, but all of them. All of them. And the soul that sinneth, it must die, right? But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And grace and truth, the gospel, proclaims salvation in Christ alone. by free grace in the favor of God alone. You can't be earned. You can't work it. You can't work to gain it. It must be given. It's a gift. It's a gift. Usually a gift is something you receive that you never ever worked for. Someone just wants to give you a gift. Salvation's a gift from God to His people. As I say, you can't earn it, but yet there's millions of people trying to gain merit and favor with God. But basically what they're doing, and we know from Scripture, they are just weaving their own coat of righteousness, which is going to just is like filthy rags, Scriptures declare, in the eyes of the Lord. No, we want the perfect, spotless righteousness of Christ. And we who are redeemed, should give much thanks. So the Scriptures proclaim that truth here comes by Christ. And the gospel is truth. The gospel is truth. Truth proclaimed. Truth proclaimed. That the one who is called truth has come from God. Is that not what we say when we preach the gospel? We preach it. We tell you. We tell ourselves that Christ came from God. We saw that in the Scriptures, didn't we? The Word became flesh. He was sent too from God. God sent Him. He came to redeem His people from their sins. And the gospel is truth, not only because it contains and proclaims truth, but because it comes from the God of all truth. It comes from the God of all truth. And Christ Himself is sent here by the God of all truth to die upon the cross for sinners like you and I. And this is a truth that we proclaim. And the Spirit, now think of this, the God of all truth sends Christ, who is full of grace and truth, and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. And He is the one who reveals Christ to us, to His people. And we're born again and granted faith and repentance to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who is truth incarnate. He is truth incarnate. Think of this. All the Old Testament sacrifices, all those Old Testament sacrifices and types, who did they point to? They pointed right to Christ, didn't they? They pointed right to Christ. They were shadows. We know that from our study in Colossians. They were shadows. But He's the substance. He's the substance. He is the truth of the types. He's the truth of the types. He's the truth of the shadows. He's the truth. And He's full of grace and truth. All those Old Testament types and shadows, they find their fulfillment in He who is the truth. Christ Jesus our Lord. He who is full of grace and truth. And that's what the Scriptures declare in verse 14. And in verse 17, they declare, verse 14, full of grace and truth. In verse 17, truth came, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So all those types and shadows find their fulfillment in Him. They find their fulfillment in Him. And this verse in 17 also shows the superior excellence of Christ to Moses in the law. And to all men. Christ is superior over all men, over angels, over Moses. Now remember, the Jews lifted up Moses almost to, boy, they lifted him up. And Abraham too, they lifted them both up. They lifted those men up so high. They even said, well, we have Abraham. We have Moses. But Moses was just a sinner like you and I. Abraham was just a sinner like you and I, highly favored by God. But the Lord Jesus Christ is their Savior too. Is their Savior too. And Christ is not a mere man. We saw that in our text. He's not a mere man. He's the Word incarnate. The second person of the Trinity has become flesh and dwelt among us. And there's a reason why He came, right? We know He came to save His people from their sins. That's the only reason He came, to redeem us. My. That's full of grace and truth. So he's so superior over everyone else. And the Lord Jesus Christ, again, is truth incarnate. Look at John 14:6. Scripture declares this. Scripture declares this about our Master, about our Savior. John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way. Now he's not saying I might be the way. He's saying I am the way. Notice the words too. The way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now there are many ways to do things, aren't there? And there's many truths. And there's many lives, right? There's plant life and there's animal life and there's truth out in the world. There's truth. There's things that are true. And there's ways to do things when you work on things. There's ways to do things. There's many ways in that sense. But Christ has the preeminence over all ways, over all truths, and over all lives. He is the one way to the Father. There's no other way. No other way. He's the truth. Full of grace and truth. And He is life. He's eternal life. All of us here have life right now, but we're going to die. He's eternal life. He's eternal. He's the one who gives life. He's the one who is eternal life. And eternal life is only found in Christ and Him alone. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man. Now listen to those words. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That is so exclusive. That's a proclamation from the Son of God. The second person of the Trinity, the Word of God. With that statement, that means Buddhism, that means all these other false religions out there are absolutely wrong. And think of that. Millions of people are perishing following all these false religions. And I know I had one guy tell me, I've told you guys before, I had one guy tell me, well, that's awful narrow. Well, that's the word of the Son of God. He proclaims that. And I believe it. And I trust in it. And He's my hope. Is He yours? Oh my. What a hope we have. What a hope we have. My goodness. And Scripture declares He's full of grace and truth. Turn, if you would, to John 18. When our Lord appeared at Pilate's bar in John 18, He said, for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. The one who was and is the truth was standing right before Pilate, and he knew him not. Look at John 18, verses 33 to 38. Then Pilate entered into the judgment bar again and called Jesus and said unto them, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from thence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. Oh my. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate said unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. He's perfect. He's sinless. He's spotless. And Pilate asks him, what is truth? And he does not even know that truth incarnate is right before him. that the one who is full of grace and truth is standing right before him. The end of Christ being born of a virgin by a miracle and his coming into this world by his incarnation, and that he being Messiah and the King and head of kingdom, that he bears witness to the truth of the Old Testament saints. All those things, him being born of the virgin, him being the King and the Messiah, all bear witness to the Old Testament. The Old Testament which proclaims of him. And all those Old Testament saints were looking to Christ. Turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 4. The Lord preached from the Old Testament and told people, today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And think of this as we read this. The one who the law and the prophets testify is the very one who is reading this to them. The very one who is reading this to them. Luke chapter 4, verses 17 to 21. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, in recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And all eyes, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. There they were all looking to Christ. And he began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. Shadows and pictures in the Old Testament find their truth in Christ. All the figures and all the types and all the shadows whereby he was held forth in the Old Testament were all fulfilled in Christ. And therefore, when he, the truth, the substance was come, they were to all vanish away. Now think of this. When you're walking, and say you're going to walk around the corner here. I've done this before, walking down here, and I see my shadow. But say, sometimes if you're at the side of a building and someone's walking up to you, you see their shadow, don't you, before you see them. You see the shadow. And then you look, and then there's the substance. There's the person come around the corner. All those Old Testaments were just shadows, beloved. Just shadows. All those types and pictures. But he is the truth. The substance was come. And that's what he's saying here in Luke 4:21. And he began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. He's saying, the substance is here. It's fulfilled right now. Hebrews 9:24 says this, for Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are figures of the true. Figures, types, shadows, figures of the true. But into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Hebrews 9:24. The law was a shadow of good things to come. And we who believe on Christ are in possession of the truth. Now think of this. The Passover lamb was a shadow, wasn't it? It was a shadow. But we have the substance. Christ who is our Passover. Christ who was sacrificed for us. For us. The manna that fell was a shadow. Was a shadow. And the Israelites feasted upon that manna, right? We have Christ who is the bread of life. Our manna from heaven. The rock that followed them. And water poured forth through that. We have the springs of living water that come forth in Christ Jesus our Lord for us. The mercy seat. Oh, the mercy seat. What a picture of Christ who is our mercy seat. And there's many other types and shadows. Remember the promise made to Adam and Eve in the garden? Turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. The promise that was made to Adam and Eve in the garden. And I will put enmity, Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is the seed of the woman, born of a virgin. It finds its fulfillment. This promise finds its fulfillment in Christ Jesus, our Lord, in him. It's being fulfilled by Christ. Turn, if you would, to Genesis 49. We looked at this one Wednesday night about Shiloh. Shiloh. Genesis 49, verse 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Who's Shiloh? The one who is full of grace and truth, the Lord Jesus Christ, is Shiloh. Shiloh. That promise has been fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ. Manna, again, is a picture in the Old Testament. Little round and white, which came down in dew every morning. And this was Israel's food for 40 years. Again, a figure, a shadow. Now the truth of this shadow come by Jesus Christ. Again, who is the believer's manna? The believer's manna. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 6. How do we know that? John chapter 6, verses 32 and 33. It finds their fulfillment in Christ. That type, that picture, that shadow finds its fulfillment in Christ, in him alone. The one who is full of grace and truth. Christ, who is the truth. The truth. So we see that he is the fulfillment, the truth of the Old Testament types and channels. John chapter 6, verses 32 and 33. He is the true bread, the believer's true manna. 32 and 33. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. He's our heavenly manna. And that picture in the Old Testament has its fulfillment in Christ, who is the truth. He's the truth of all those types and pictures, beloved. The Israelites had a brazen serpent hung upon a pole. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 3. Remember? They had rebelled and they were being stung. They were being stung. And Moses was told to put a serpent upon a pole and hold it up. It's a type in a picture of Christ being held up. Because what happened when those folks looked to that serpent? They were healed, weren't they? They were healed. And they were healed. Think of this too. Think of this. They were healed by God's command because it was God who told Moses to do that. So they were healed by God's command. And when Christ came, the truth of this picture, the truth of the brazen serpent being lifted up, is in Christ. And remember this, because of our fallen Adam, we've been bitten by sin, right? And the poison of sin flows through our veins, doesn't it? It does. Pours through us, beloved. It's so infected us that we sin from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. We've been bitten just like them Israelites. We come into this world dead in trespasses and sin. Now with that in mind, look at John 3, verses 14 and 15. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Oh, here we go. Here's that fulfillment. Here's the fulfillment of that picture in the Old Testament, beloved. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My goodness. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Now look at that word there. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. But now look at that picture in the Old Testament. Moses is told to hold up that serpent, right? On a pole. And all who looked to that serpent were saved, weren't they? There's the fulfillment. Christ dying upon the cross. There's the truth of that picture. Christ, who is the truth, full of grace and truth. Look to Christ. Look to Christ to be saved. That's our message, isn't it? Look and live. Look to Christ. Look to Him. He's the only hope. He's the only hope. And this looking is by faith. Turn, if you would, one more scripture to Isaiah 45, verse 22. This looking is by faith. And we know from other scriptures that faith is a gift from God. He gives us that gift, doesn't He? He gives us that gift. Faith and repentance is a gift from God. Because therefore, salvation is of the Lord. It's all His doing. It's all by Him. All by His planning. And all by His execution. Look at Isaiah 45, 22. Look unto Me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. Now where is that fulfilled? At the cross. At the cross. Look unto Christ, dying upon the cross for sinners. For sinners. Look and live. Look and live. Now, another picture quickly. We read of a ladder that Jacob saw, and the feet were upon the earth, and the head in heaven. The truth of that ladder is Christ. He came down from heaven to earth, and now He's back up into heaven in glory. We read of a ram that was brought to Abraham to sacrifice instead of Isaac. The truth of that ram was Christ sacrificed for us, as our substitute, in our place. We read of a lamb that was slain at Passover, and the blood sprinkled, whereunto the destroying angel passed by. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Oh, beloved, beloved of God, that lamb was Christ. It was a picture. It finds its fulfillment in Christ Jesus our Lord, whose blood was shed to redeem His people. And God is satisfied. He's satisfied. When I see the blood, I'll pass over. Oh, what a picture. I could preach for years on that. I love that portion of Scripture. It's so wonderful. Because that destroying angel, if that blood's not there, he's got a claim on us, doesn't he? But oh, we're covered in the precious blood of Christ. And ye must be born again. And the very one who said ye must be born again is the one who is full of grace and truth, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank Thee for this time that we've had together to study Your Word and to study that the Lord Jesus Christ, our great God and King and Redeemer, is the truth. And all the Old Testament types and shadows find their fulfillment in Him. Praise Your mighty name, Lord Jesus, for redeeming our souls. We love Thee and praise Thee in Jesus' name. Amen.